Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Pete Musto, Mario Ritter, and Anne Ball. Later, Phil Dierking and Jill Robbins will bring us this week's lesson in everyday grammar. But first, here is Pete Musto.
A human rights group is warning against a rise in politically divisive speech and international indifference to rights abuses. Amnesty International released its 2016 report on Wednesday. The report is called The State of the World's Human Rights. The group criticizes both rich and poor nations. It noted government efforts to restrict free speech in countries such as Ethiopia, Bangladesh, and Russia. It also noted attacks on civilians in places such as Syria, Yemen, and Sudan. Amnesty's Secretary General Salil Shetty spoke to reporters in Paris. He noted that 2016 was a year in which poisonous political rhetoric increased in many areas around the world. Shetty criticized politicians, even some world leaders, for their use of us versus them comments to denounce immigrants, Muslims, and other groups. The leaders included Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, and United States President Donald Trump.
And at the root of this rhetoric lies a dangerous idea. The idea that some people are less human than others.
He added that one of the most dangerous things that's happened in 2016 is to increasingly start equating refugees with terrorists. Salil Shetty said Amnesty is also worried about the international community's reaction to violence against civilians. These acts include the bombings of schools and hospitals in Syria, migrant drownings in the Mediterranean, and reports of the use of chemical weapons in Darfur, Sudan.
We have reached a point where there is no longer any red line. Almost no action has become too appalling or indefensible.
Shetty said many of these terrible acts have been met with, in his words, deafening silence. He said people can force their governments to change. He noted that such efforts are taking place in Europe, Africa, and the United States. Amnesty researcher Gaetan Mutu said there have been attacks against the rights of people who belong to the LGBT community. LGBT is short for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender. He also noted attacks against free speech in some African countries.
People have been arrested, for example, in Côte d'Ivoire because they were protesting against the referendum. Many of them were arrested and released shortly afterwards.
Mutu said similar actions have taken place in Nigeria, Zimbabwe, and South Africa. Amnesty criticized President Trump's efforts to temporarily block U.S. visits by citizens from 7 Muslim-majority countries. It called the ban inhumane, unlawful, and just plain stupid. Trump has said the travel restrictions are necessary until stronger measures can be put in place to stop possible terrorists from entering the country. But federal judges have suspended enforcement of the ban. Trump has promised to write a new order that will be accepted by U.S. courts. I'm Pete Musto.
Many Americans do not trust opinion polls. They are not moved by recent polls on the presidency of Donald Trump. Studies show that nationwide, 44% of those questioned approve of Trump's actions since taking office in January. But his favorability rating can rise to as high as 52% in some areas, depending on whom is questioned. Much of his support comes from rural communities in states like Arizona. In Mojave County, Arizona, 3 out of 4 people voted for Donald Trump. That is more than in any other county in Arizona. Many people in Mojave County believe Trump is doing a good job as president. They agreed with him that bad news about his presidency comes from 3 sources: the media, members of the Democratic Party, and critics who have an interest in keeping things the way they are. Sam Scarmardo owns a gun store and is a Trump supporter. "Sometimes he's a little bombastic," he says of Trump. "But behind the bombast and show, there's a whole lot of thought on what will make America great again. And America does need to be great again." Arizona is a state with relatively few rules on gun ownership. Scarmardo believes Trump supports gun rights. His store sells silencers for handguns and ammunition to shoppers. They can also sign rental agreements to borrow a high-powered rifle or machine gun. Scarmardo says gun ownership is an American tradition. But he notes guns are not the top issue for people in Arizona. "Immigration's number one," he says. "We have people in this town that are out of work or underemployed, totally unemployed, that can't feed their families, and we have a terrible influx of illegal aliens." The area around Lake Havasu City in Mojave County has struggled since the economic crisis of 2008. Lake Havasu became known for its water sports and warm weather in the 1970s. It had many visitors from California, northern states, and even western Canada. The city is home to the London Bridge, a 19th-century structure that once stretched across the River Thames. The bridge now crosses part of the lake, which was created by building a dam on the Colorado River. Scarmardo attends a weekly breakfast with a group of men who support the Republican Party. These people are among the president's strongest supporters. At one recent gathering, several women were also present. Jean Kench is the Mojave County Assessor. She supports the president's temporary travel ban on people from seven mainly Muslim countries. A federal court has suspended enforcement of the ban. Kench says conservatives like her often are accused of being homophobic and sexist. She says the ban's critics are ignoring that conservatives do not support the legal discrimination against gays and women in many Muslim countries. Another woman at the meeting, Diane Klostermeyer, says, "What is wrong with trying to protect the people from terrorists entering our country?" Some people in Lake Havasu worry that the United States is too divided by politics and culture. Arizona also shares a border with Mexico. One man at the breakfast said he hoped that Trump will repair U.S. relations with Mexico. Those relations have been hurt by Trump's plan to build a wall along the border and have Mexico pay for it. Gordon Grote, a member of the Lake Havasu City Council, has worked in international trade. He says the wall implies strained relations with the entirety of the Western Hemisphere through Latin America. Grote worries that the tension, in his words, creates a great entree point for countries like China, which can then build financial influence in the area. Grote says he trusts that President Trump, as an international businessman, can deal with this complex situation. The voters at the meeting say they believe Trump understands American business and American values. They say, although others are criticizing the president, they are glad to see change brought to Washington, D.C. I'm Mario Ritter.
Excitement was in the air and on the grounds of Mount Vernon, home of George Washington, the first President of the United States. Friends and family gathered there to watch loved ones become U.S. citizens on the 285th anniversary of Washington's birthday. 51 people from 31 different countries would now be citizens of one country, the United States of America. They were continuing the rich American tradition of a nation built by immigrants. But they were taking the oath of citizenship while the country debates President Donald Trump's order to ban people from seven Muslim-majority countries. Iraq is one of those countries. Omar Khan was born there.
He came to the U.S. as a refugee, fleeing his home in Iraq. He says he is overwhelmed and happy to be a U.S. citizen. Now he will be able to travel freely with an American passport. He says it is unfair to ban people who are Muslim.
You're creating a culture of hate in the United States. And, you know, we're always talking about uniting people of the United States. And then you come out with a speech of hate and discrimination. I don't think that's something that that this nation was built on.
He says the travel ban means his mother will not be able to come visit her grandchildren in the U.S. But, Khan adds, the Obama administration had denied entry to her before.
Why would you refuse a 60-year-old woman to come here and see her grandkids?
Bibi Miriam Jamalzai is also against banning Muslims. On Wednesday, she became the last person in her family to become a U.S. citizen. As a Muslim from Afghanistan, she says she does not like the new travel ban, but she has a good feeling about becoming an American citizen. Standing with their three children, Asma Jamalzai is happy for his wife. He had helped U.S. forces in Afghanistan and became a U.S. citizen in 2014. He says banning people because of their religion is wrong.
I think the government should, based on the U.S. Constitution, it shouldn't ban anyone based on their religion. However, I think the security of the United States is very important, so the government should take some steps to keep Americans safe.
Jamalzai believes some green card holders are afraid that if they go back to their countries to visit family, they will not be able to get back into the U.S.
I think this is a big concern for most people who are green card holders, and they have a big American dream that this is a great country. Now they see some hard stuff that they haven't experienced yet.
In fact, the Associated Press reported that organizations around the country are seeing an increase in people asking questions about becoming U.S. citizens. Organizations in Los Angeles, Maryland, and New York that help immigrants from Latin America, Asia, and the Middle East all said they have seen an increase in calls and questions about how to become a citizen. Adam Cook was born in England. He stood on George Washington's lawn, the home of the man who defeated England to gain U.S. independence, and, along with his fellow new Americans, Cook took the oath of citizenship.
So help me God. Congratulations, my fellow citizens.
Cook says he wants to help his new country be better. He also opposes the travel ban.
I don't think it's going to be effective. We need to make sure that we treat everybody equal. Everybody was immigrants to begin, and everybody will be coming forward. And that's what makes this a great country and sets the tone for a lot of other countries.
Cook points to the many nations represented at the ceremony and says that diversity is everything about what America is. He says, Americans need to work together, because if we are going to keep thinking about the bad in people, we're never going to find the good in people. The people were given certificates of citizenship and encouraged to register to vote right away. As the music started playing again, the new Americans found their families and friends and left to start new lives as U.S. citizens. I'm Ann Ball. From VOA Learning English, this is Everyday Grammar. Imagine you are at a business meeting in the United States. The meeting is held one day after a major sporting event, like the Super Bowl. You might hear comments like this.
Did you see the terrible call the referee made?
Yes. But it didn't matter. Our team would have lost the game anyway.
So anyway, do you think the budget details are correct or not?
Why were two of the speakers talking about a football game at a business meeting? How did they use grammar to show disagreement? In our report today, we will answer these questions by exploring the word anyway. We will tell about two ways people use anyway to show disagreement or contrast in American English.
Today, we are not talking about the term any way, a noun phrase that has two words, any and way. We are instead talking about anyway, an adverb that is one word. Adverbs are words that change the meaning of adjectives, verbs, or sometimes whole sentences. They tell about a way of doing things, time, reason, and so on. Anyway is a common adverb that you will hear in everyday speech. Like many other adverbs, it can appear at the beginning, middle, and end of a sentence. Its meaning can change depending on where it is found in the sentence. Today, we will consider the use of anyway at the beginning and end of the sentence.
Susan Conrad and Douglas Biber are two experts on English grammar. They say there are two main uses of anyway in everyday conversation. The first use of anyway is to show contrast with another speaker's earlier comments. This does not necessarily mean that one speaker disagrees with another. It just means that one speaker is comparing one idea or thing with another. When anyway has this meaning, it generally appears at the end of the sentence. Here's an example.
I'm not sure if I have my bus ticket.
That's okay. I'll let you ride anyway.
The second common use of anyway is to show that a speaker wants to talk about a different subject. It could mean that the speaker wants to move back to the main point of discussion. The speaker could also use anyway to show that they think another issue is more important. When anyway has this meaning, it generally is found at the beginning of the sentence. Here is an example. Imagine a group of students are meeting after school
to prepare for a biology test.
What are you doing this weekend? I'm going to a movie.
I'm going to play video games.
Anyway, I think we need to go back to studying our biology notes.
Think back to the comments you heard at the beginning of this story.
Did you see the terrible call the referee made?
Yes, but it didn't matter. Our team would have lost the game anyway.
So anyway, do you think the budget details are correct or not?
You might notice that there are two forms of disagreement or contrast in this example. There are also two uses of the word anyway in the conversation. One speaker uses it to provide a contrasting point about the call the referee made. Another speaker uses anyway to show that she wants to return to the main issue under consideration at a business meeting, the budget. This speaker probably does not believe that the game is an important subject. In this sense, she is showing disagreement or contrast. One important point to remember is this. Americans will often use other words in front of words that show contrast or disagreement. Speakers will use these words to soften the sudden or unexpected change in conversation. This is probably why the female speaker uses the word so before the word anyway. She is probably expressing annoyance at her coworker's comments, but does not want to stop them in a very forceful or impolite way. Americans can also use the word well before anyway to serve this same purpose, softening a sudden change in the conversation. Using the word anyway at the beginning of the sentence can appear to be impolite at times. How polite or impolite the word sounds might depend on the speaker's voice. It also depends on the person you are speaking to. Here is an example of a softer, more polite way to use anyway when you want to go back to an important subject.
Well, anyway, I would like to go back to the topic we were previously discussing.
And here is a forceful, impolite way to show someone that you want to go back to an important subject. You will notice that the speaker uses the word anyway.
Anyway, I want to talk about an important topic.
These rules are not easy to learn. However, learning them will help you understand Americans when they speak. You will be able to understand disagreements about what is important to discuss and how to change a topic in a polite way. The next time you are watching an American film or television show, try to study how Americans change subjects or express disagreement. You might notice that they use different or similar grammatical constructions. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Phil Dierking.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.